called, His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. It's the Christmas season, and we're looking forward to what Jesus means to us and what He does in our lives. And what we're going to concentrate on the last few weeks and the next few couple of weeks is what it means to have God with us. That's the real gift of Christmas, was that God came to be with us in a literal sense. We have been hitting hard the idea that Jesus Christ is God. He's not just a good man. He's not just a wise man. But He is God come in the flesh to be with us. And there are some things that means for us. And one of the things that we're going to look at this morning is that He is with us to stay. He is never going to leave us or forsake us. Jesus Christ came to this world as a baby. He grew into a man and He went back to heaven, but He never left us. And we're going to find out what that means today. One of the things that has become rather prominent in our culture and our society today is that there is more and more diminishing relationships in our world today. Read an interesting study not too long ago, a couple years ago now, but they discovered that little children, kindergarten, first, second, and third graders, they discovered that they are building shallower and shallower relationships with the children that are around them. And they discovered that one of the reasons that is happening, well, there are several reasons, but that is because their families, their parents, and the ones that they learn from are not engaging in deep relationships. They're passing relationships. Divorce is a great separator of friendships and relationships, not just of husbands and wives, but families that are forced to take sides, and friends and family that one group goes with one spouse and one group goes with the other. And these children have learned not to make deep relationships because the separation factor is painful. And they learn not to go through that pain by keeping their relationships shallow. One of the biggest challenges that young people today, they're noticing that young people are getting married later and later in life. And one of the things that they're discovering is that there is an expectation of a high probability of divorce. So much so that it almost makes it inevitable in some relationships that their relationship is not going to last. And they go into it thinking, well, it's probably only going to last a few years anyway, so why invest myself totally and completely in the one that I love right now? As a matter of fact, there's a new term that is out there called starter marriages. You're going to hear that term more and more often of young people who look at their first marriage especially as kind of a trial run, and they don't even expect it to last, and so their relationships never go that deep and there's really no growth that happens. And inevitably, those relationships do end. We have become a nation that kind of expects our relationships to end somewhere along the way, and we don't want to go through that pain and that suffering of separation, and so there's an expectation that comes along with that. Well, Jesus came to break that cycle. Jesus came to live with us forever. There is a finality in your relationship with Christ that will last into eternity. Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. God proclaimed that to be a truth, and it is. And it's so true that even if we decide that we don't want God, He still wants us. He still pursues us. He still comes after us with all of the tenacity that He can muster. Jesus, the Christmas story is the story of God with us forever. It is a forever kind of relationship. In our culture, we have this idea that relationships are easily fractured and easily break. Part of that is because we are a very self-centered society. And if that person doesn't meet our expectations, we want to find somebody that does. And since we have been convinced that we deserve what we want, we easily break those relationships to go on to find something else. The words in a marriage vow, till death do us part, has become almost meaningless in a lot of places today. And we find that the real meaning behind it is, until I am tired of you. Until you don't meet my needs the way that I want my needs met. And we use that as an excuse for breaking relationships. And it doesn't just begin and end with marriage. It begins and ends with friendships, with family relationships, with all kinds of things. I am stunned at the number of families that are so broken that there are brothers and sisters, parents and children that have not spoken to each other in years and even decades. Those broken relationships affect the way that we live. And Jesus came to us so that we could be with Him forever. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He said, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus promised that He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. This is at the trailing end of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And Jesus gives them the confidence to do that by ending up that little saying by saying, "I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." I want you to think about that for a moment. That is a big promise. That is probably the most comforting thing that you and I can ever know about Jesus. Psalm 139, verse 7, the psalmist writes this, and he says, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence." Now, that's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on which side of the coin you're on. You know, when you need Jesus, when you're in times of crisis, when you're going through times of difficulty, you need Jesus, and Jesus says, "I'm going to be there." Now, if you decide you don't want Jesus and you want to live a life of degradation and sinfulness and self-pleasure and all of that kind of stuff, you can find out that Jesus even then never leaves you. He always shows up. He's like a bad penny. Every time you turn around, there He is. Parents, let me just throw this in as kind of added value here. That is why it is so important for you to get the Word of God into your children's lives. That's why it's so important for them to be here on Wednesday night. That's why it's so important for them to be here on Sunday school. Because they are going to get things into their life that will never leave them. You are sending God's Word into their heart and into their life. And one day, God forbid, that they're doing something they shouldn't do, there's going to be a little, still, small voice in the back of their head that is going to be saying to them, "Now, didn't you hear something about that from a Sunday school teacher once a long time ago?" And it's going to make them stop, and it's going to make them sit, think, and maybe it'll save their life. Certainly it can save their soul. The Word of God is powerful. It needs to be taught to our children, even if they don't like it. I'm always amazed. I can't get my kids up to go to Sunday school. Oh, does that happen Monday morning too? Do you say, "Well, yeah, you had a tough Sunday, so you can sleep in and skip school today"? No. Because you know it's good for them, and because you want them out of the house a little while too, don't you?
Sure.
But what it is a priority in their life, and you know that it's important for them. You know that consistency is important. How much more so the Word of God? And also for you too. Ooh, just went to meddling there. Sorry about that. Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." In times of crisis, He's there. In Psalm 23:4, it says, "Even though I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect, and they comfort me." God's presence, not just God's Word. God's Word is there too. But the very presence of God is with us when we go through the deepest crisis, when we go through the deepest difficulty. I want you to remember to pray for the Saylor family. They just lost their mother just 4 weeks ago, and now on the heels of that, Larry's youngest brother has passed away. They're going through the valley of the shadow of death right now, and they need the comfort that only God can bring to them. But even when you're going through those difficult times, God says that He is with you. Jesus promised His disciples, Matthew 10, 19 and 20, He says, When you are arrested, don't worry about what to say in your defense, because you will be given the right words at the right time. For it won't be you doing the talking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You can trust that when that moment of crisis comes, when that child comes up to you and says, Mom and Dad, I'm thinking about my lifestyle. I want to change. I want to be different. I want to go the way of the world. When you run into a financial situation and the creditors are at the door and everything that you own is in danger. When the doctor gives you a diagnosis that you don't want to hear and he doesn't want to give. You can be sure that God is with you in the middle of all of those crises, in the middle of all of those difficulties. And can I throw in a little more extra value added for that? It is good to get to know the God that you will need in the time of crisis when you're not in crisis. You can build that relationship now with God so that when the crisis comes, you're going to a familiar voice. You're going to your Father. You're going to somebody that you know intimately, and you're not running to a stranger. And folks, that's what the majority of people in times of crisis are running to. They're calling 911 and they don't know who's going to answer, but they hope it's the right God. Get to know Him now so that when those times of crisis come, you'll be going to somebody familiar. You'll be going to a voice that's comforting and you know it because you've heard it before. Don't put it off until the end. He's with us in times of crisis. He's with us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promised His disciples, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father has promised. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus gave that promise just before He left them. Left them. Now, I've been standing here telling you Jesus will never leave you. And He left them. And that sounds like a contradiction, but it's not, because He sent someone to be with Him that would remind Him of everything Jesus has said. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be with you. That's why the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so important, because it gives you the power of God in your everyday living. You don't have to be a 911 Christian where you don't talk to God until the need is there. You can talk to Him anytime because He's with you and because He's in you. You can have the Holy Spirit in you and with you all the days of your life. And He's with us because He promises that He's coming again to get us so that we can be where He is. John 14, 1 through 4, Jesus says this, don't be troubled. You trust God. Now trust in Me. There are many rooms in My Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly, and when everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with Me where I am going, and you know where I'm going and how to get there. God is preparing a place for you and I to live with Him eternally. Now He lives with us, but we're going to go live with Him. Do you see the difference? You see, He's going to take us into His presence one of these days, and we are going to live with Him forever. You know, we don't hear a lot of preaching and teaching on the second coming. We don't hear a lot of preaching and teaching on the rapture of the church, but it is so very important. And maybe one of the reasons is because our life is pretty good right here, right now. Maybe we don't want to leave right away. You know, like Woody Allen, I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Think about that, you'll get that on the way home. But Jesus said over and over again, I'm coming to take you with Me. There is a place that I have prepared for you. It's better than this world. All the sin, all the sickness, all the tears, all the sorrows, all the pain, all the suffering, everything that is negative and ungodly will be gone forever. And it's okay to look forward to that. It's okay to sing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's our reward. Jesus said that to us. He is God with us. And it's much deeper than just having a friend by our side. It's having God with us. I love having friends by my side. I love going through this life with good friends that I can count on. But I count it a privilege and a joy to say, God is with me. God is with me, and He's with you too. If you belong to Jesus Christ this morning, that's your hope. That's your promise. It can be yours. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt like God turned His back on you? I want you to know that the promise is yours. that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. You can have that promise this morning. All you need to do is turn to Christ and say, Jesus, I want You to be my Lord and my Savior. I want my life to revolve around You. And I want to give myself to You this morning. Let's close our eyes and pray just a moment. If that's you, I want to know right now, do you need to give your heart to Christ?